offering our humble pranams at Bhagwan's lotus feet. Dear listeners, we welcome you to this week's episode of Afternoon Satsang. And just as we spoke last week, we're going to continue the story of the necklace story of Lord Rama.
Sri Rama Rama Rameti Rame Rame Manorame Sahasranama Tatulyam Rama Nama Varanane Rama Nama Varanane
Even as the beautiful name of Lord Rama fills our hearts with melody and our ears with music. Dear listeners, this is the time when we have to just let go of all our worries, all our thoughts, all our tensions, everything. Just let go of everything because we are about to embark on a beautiful journey. A journey into the greatest stories ever told by mankind. And that is the story of Lord Shri Rama, as narrated and told to us by himself, Sai Rama. So dear listeners, it is with great joy that Brother Prem and myself, Arvind from Team Radio Sai, we invite you to join this satsang in which we have two unseen listeners, one of course our dear Swami, and the other, the listener who is always present wherever the name of Rama and the story of Rama is said, that is Lord Hanuman, offering our obeisance to the greatest devotee, a devotee who was so fantastic, so phenomenal, so wonderful and so excellent in his devotion that he has today been exalted to the status of God, Lord Hanuman. We begin this satsang. Sai Ram Prem.
Sai Ram Arvind, even as that wonderful shloka from the Vishnu Sahasranama was being sung so mellifluously by our brother Srinivasalu from the Book Trust, just a couple of days back, I think if I'm not wrong, yesterday, we got a mail from one of our listeners who shared with us one of her life-changing experience when she was diagnosed with a very, very serious disorder and she was admitted in the hospital. And she was very, very bravely battling this. And when all the doctors gave up, she still managed to come out. And she said what was most interesting in that entire experience was there was something deep within her which was telling her, chant this shloka, Shri Rama Rama Rameti Rame Rame Manorame Sahasranama Tatulyam Rama Nama Varanane. And she said she had no clue where this voice came from, but it was going on prompting her that you have to chant this shloka. And every time when she would inadvertently forget to chant it, there would be another voice saying that, what are you doing? This is the only thing which can take you out of this trouble that you've got into. Never let go of this name, chant the shloka. And she says that she did come out of it eventually, and it was a miracle which all the doctors themselves acknowledged.
Wow. You know, there's something really, really special about the Ram Naam, as they call it, Prem. You see, even in our day-to-day quotes and quotations, whether in Hindi or English, for example, in Hindi we have Dil mein Ram, Haath mein Kaam. You know, as you do your work, you can convert it or transform it into worship by thinking of Ram. Of course, there Ram is symbolic and Ram stands for thinking about the Lord. But I don't think it is a coincidence that, you know, the word Ram has come there, because it's so, you know, if you see in another sense, it is such a simple word, so easy to pronounce, so easy to keep in mind, and it, in spite of being so simple and lucid and everything in size and the way to pronounce, in meaning, it is so beautiful. No wonder that the origin of this name is from the great Vasishta.
You know, even as you're saying about how sweet it is and how simple it is, I can tell you that even as a little kid, how this name was so, I mean, I was so fond of this name in the sense that it was taught to us by our parents and said that you should chant this. And I remember in school playing cricket, facing fast bowlers, going on chanting Ram 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 before playing the ball. But you know, when I came to Swami, and after you read a lot of, that is when, before you read Ramayana and the other epics, it is just that you're given a name and you said that you should chant this if you want to overcome your fears. But when you read, you tend to be a little more biased towards the avatar of Krishna, because that's more delightful and there is more beauty in that avatar, a lot of mischief. Rama is, as they would say, is Maryada Purushottam, you know. That is for those people who are steadfast and the discipline-oriented ones.
Mm.
So I used to get that idea, maybe I should chant Krishna Krishna more, and you know, that is more sweet.
Mm.
But when I came to Swami, and when Swami would tell in his discourse that you have no idea how much sweetness that name Ram can give. You have no idea how much glory that name, that simple name can bring. And I think before we go further and talk about how that name was conferred on this avatar, we should listen to Swami chanting, reciting a small poem where he says how sweet this name is.
Wow.
Sakyara kante tipi dari saramu kantenu ruchyamaunu pempekina tene kanna ati ruchyamu నోటను పల్క పల్కగా అమృతమే అనిపించును కాన నిత్యమీ చక్కని దాని నిత్యం ఈ చక్కని దాని మనసా మనసా స్మరింపుము రామనామము
స్వీటర్ దాన్ ద షుగర్ టేస్టియర్ దాన్ ద కర్డ్ టేస్టియర్ దాన్ ద హనీ టు అటర్ ద నేమ్ ఆఫ్ ద లార్డ్ ఇస్ రియల్లీ నెక్టరైన్ రిపీట్ గాడ్స్ నేమ్ ఓ మైండ్ ఎవ్రీ డే.
You know, Prem, when I listen to these translation and Swami's discourse,
mm-hmm.
you realize the wide gulf that exists between the beauty and poetry of Telugu and how English is just unable to cope up with the intricacies that Swami uses in the language. For example, in the translation that we heard, which is a perfect translation, we hear of how Rama's name is tastier than curd and Rama's name is tastier than honey. But you know, there is a subtle difference. I'm sure if Professor Anil Kumar sir had more time to translate, he would have gone into those intricacies. But you know, the power of compression that Telugu has, apparently English doesn't have, and therefore for the sake of finishing a translation in time, he has to say that. But you know, the term that Swami uses, it means that when you know, it's honey is such that you lick it once, you feel like licking it once more. You are never satisfied with it. You're never satisfied with a single lick or two licks or three licks. How much ever you eat that honey, you feel that you want more of it. You want more of it. And I feel with each of those description, a different facet of Ramanama is said. One is that it is sweeter than that. It is tastier. And at the same time, apart from being sweet and tasty, it is such that you will never feel full. You'll never feel that enough. I have done enough of Ram Nam. The more you do Ram Nam Japa, the more addicted you get to it, the more you want of it. Indeed, really beautiful. So nicely Swami sums it up in that poem there.
Right. I remember when Swami was once talking about curd, he would say, you will not feel a meal is complete if you have not had curd and rice. And in that sense, you don't feel that sense of fulfillment if this name is not chanted. And that is maybe the comparison from you saying tastier than curd.
Now going back to the Ramakatha Rasavahini, I mean, all the time we are in the Rasavahini of the Ramakatha only, but going as per the story where Swami narrates about the birth of Lord Sri Rama, Swami gives a beautiful description of how nature erupted in joy. You know, the trees began to flower. Mm-hmm. And you know, the period in which Rama was born. In fact, when Rama was born, it is said that Dasharatha announces. He announces it so that all those who are going to write down his Jatakam, what they say, that is...
astrology.
The astrologers horoscope. Will chart the horoscope.
Right.
So for their sake, I mean, I will read out this small paragraph what Swami has said. Swami writes that Dasharatha announces that the child of Kausalya, that is Rama, he had not yet been named then, was born at the most propitious moment, the Uttarayana, the divine half year, in the month of Chaitra, the bright fortnight, the ninth day, in the Punarvasu star, on Monday, in the Simha Lagna. Simha Lagna corresponds to the zodiacal sign of the lion.
Leo,
yeah. In the Abhijita Kala, the time Abhijit is the period of victory, when the world was resting happily, when the weather was equable, that is, it was neither too hot nor cold, and Kaika's son, that is Bharata, was born on the next day, that is in Chaitra, the bright half, the tenth day, on Tuesday, the Gandha Yoga. The third day were born the twins, Lakshmana and Shatrughna. Same, Chaitra, bright half, is the 11th day now, in the Ashlesha Nakshatra, the Ashlesha star, Vriddhi Yoga. So, these are the, if we can say, timing coordinates for the birth of the four princes. And if we can understand, see that Chaitra month is the month of spring. And so nature too was celebrating. You know, there were trees blossoming, flowers, fruits, bees buzzing around, the birds flying around. Such a beautiful atmosphere. It seemed that nature was verily celebrating the birth of the four princes.
Very true. And another point which Swami would often make in other discourses is, you know, generally we consider these 2 days as inauspicious, Ashtami and Navami. You know, when we were students, Swami would discourage us from traveling on Ashtamis and Navamis. If our vacations would start on an Ashtami and Navami, the teacher in charge who used to book tickets for us would refuse to book tickets because he would say that no, Swami doesn't like you traveling on Ashtamis and Navamis.
I also remember, in fact, you know, if you were forced to by circumstances to travel on an Ashtami, we would be told that you pack your luggage and on the day before Ashtami, keep the luggage out. That is symbolic of you leaving your home on a day other than Ashtami.
Right.
And yeah, so continue.
And Swami would also follow that, you know, when he's traveling from Vrindavan to Puttaparthi or Puttaparthi to elsewhere or Vrindavan. He would see whether it's an Ashtami or Navami. I think Swami also would not like to travel on Tuesday. That was also one of his preferences. It's really mysterious, to say the least, that Swami chose to follow all these ritualistic beliefs. But it was a lesson for all of us that I think it also gives you a sense of humility. Yes, you are divine essentially. Yes, you are the absolute essentially. But when you are in this ignorance, It calls for that humility to accept some of these rituals which have been given down by people who have done it for our benefit. You know, what would the ancients who have given these traditions down to us earn by you not traveling on a Tuesday or Ashtami or Navami? It is for that sense of selflessness with which they have given, I think, to honor that you humbly accept all this. That's what even Swami did when he had no reason to do it.
In another sense, I feel, Prem, that, you know, as long as we are bound in this game of life, we play by the rules. I mean, if you take a soccer, for example, why should it be a corner if it goes beyond the goalkeeper, and why should it be a free throw when it's on the sides? Those are the rules of the game. So as long as we are within the game, we play by the rules. Once, you know, for yogis, for the Lord, for those who have gone beyond the game, those enlightened ones, those which are filled with wisdom, I don't think the rules apply for them. And that is why this becomes an example of humility, because though none of these rules apply for Swami, he still adheres by the rules to set a role model for us. And I feel that is very, very inspiring.
And talking about Ashtami Navami, and we celebrate Rama's birth as Rama Navami, because the day was a Navami. And this is something Swami would refer to in his discourses. Swami would say, we say that Ashtami and Navami is inauspicious, but Rama was born on a Navami. Krishna was born on an Ashtami. Krishnashtami.
Correct.
And Swami would also say that, see, none less than Vasishtha is naming Lord Rama. None less than Lord Vasishtha is presiding.
Sage Vasishtha. Huh?
Yeah, Sage Vasishtha is presiding over a ceremony where his horoscope is being charted out. Okay, and none less than Vishwamitra presided over the marriage of Rama and Sita, which is going to come later. But why would, I mean, in the worldly sense, there were so many things which went wrong with the life of Lord Rama and Mother Sita. If you were to give so much importance to all these rituals, it does not protect you from every other thing which you think is inauspicious and which you think is unfavorable for you.
Perfectly, Prem. I mean, this following of Ashtami or Navami, for whatever reasons, as you say, is no guarantor that because I didn't follow this, I'm going to get into trouble, or because I followed it, I'm foolproof. Because it is up to us to introspect, get deeper meanings, delve deeper into these, as to why this logic has been set aside and why this logic has been followed on different occasions.
Right.
Because
in fact, Swami says the understanding which you should have is pain and pleasure is part of life. Just like how Lord Rama, as we are going to see, accepted stoically and bravely whatever came by him. That is how you have to accept it. You're not following these Ashtami, Navami and all these other things to run away from the difficulties which life is going to present to you. It is to give you a better understanding and a higher vision and a kind of stable view to what is going to come to you.
I had read another beautiful interpretation.
Okay.
This was as given by Yukteswar Giri to Sri Paramahamsa Yogananda. I often quote this autobiography of a yogi because, you know, whether anyone likes it or not, that's a book I've read so many times. So, I know each and every story and incident there. There, it so happens that Paramahamsa Yogananda is told to wear an astrological amulet, which is supposed to protect him from bad luck, shield him from all the, you know, evil and evil spirits and bad luck and all those things.
Okay.
He just rubbishes it. He says, I'm not going to wear an amulet to protect me because I have my guru to protect me. This is often a question we may get also, that why should Ashtami or Navami affect me when I'm doing Swami's work? When Swami is there, do you think that an Ashtami or Navami are more powerful than Swami? The answer that Yukteswar Giri gives to Paramahamsa Yogananda is very interesting. He tells him, you wear the amulet, you need to wear. So he says, Master, how can a piece of copper protect me against the planets? Why do you think the planets are very cruel or against me? Is it true? He says, no. Cruelty is something that you are thinking. That is the nature of the planet. Shani does this. Guru does this. Shukra does this. That is the nature of the planet. You call it as good and cruel. That has no color on its own. Each one is following its nature. You feel that the lion is a savage wild beast, while a deer is a very friendly loving animal. Nothing. Both are equally good or equally bad.
They're just doing their...
They're doing and you are giving traits. So when he tells that, he says, okay. Then he says, Guru, that validates my point, what I'm saying. If they have nothing like this, they have no animosity. They're just like that. Why is all this protection? Why? How can a piece of copper protect me? I think I'm much beyond that. And then the Guru smiles and says, that's exactly the objective of the amulet. It is to inspire every person to feel that, you know, this Ashtami or Navami or the planets or this or bad luck or whatever, Friday the 13th, there are these things in every part of the globe. So all these are actually restrictions which I am not bound by. It is in order to invigorate you to break out of that and realize your true identity, which is one with the Atman. Once you reach that level, you need not follow. So it is in order to inspire you to break out of all these and realize that I'm much beyond these restrictions are put. So that when the restrictions come only, you start thinking, telling that why all these restrictions? No, how can this? So that is why I feel, you know, Swami also says, Nasukhat labhyate sukham. You don't get joy out of joy, out of happy situations. It is only the sorrowful and troublesome situations that prepare you to receive the joy which is actually permanent. All other things are ephemeral. So that was another thought that came in my head.
And also, you know, there is one particular saying. They say that if you want to make a decision, if you're in a dilemma, take a coin and toss it. You know, as we always do, head comes this and tails comes this. This is what we would do. The saying goes that, you know, if you're in a dilemma, toss a coin. When the coin is in air, you will want head or tails, depending on what choices you want to make. He says, don't see whether it's a head or tail, just do what you wanted it to be.
You at least get to know that what is it,
right,
that you desire.
You get to know what you desire. And similarly, you know, we all say that, you know, I don't believe in this. But when we are in a situation where we need external help, we will go in search of this. It is a sign that you are still in the mode of fear. We spoke about fear so much a couple of weeks back. It is a sign that, you know, we all say that I don't need Swami to come to me through somebody. I don't need to have some means through which I should...
Because I have a direct connection with Swami.
I have a direct connection with Swami. But when you're in a situation when you want so desperately Swami's intervention...
And you're not getting a dream or not,
right,
getting...
At that time, can you hold yourself from going to somebody who can connect you to Swami?
Yeah, that's in quotes. That is the thing. Exactly. You brought out a very valid point.
So it just shows in which level you are. It's a way of, you know, measuring yourself.
You know, you try something, you do everything, you say, I don't believe in all this Ashtami, Navami stuff, and you try to do something,
and then
something goes bad, and then somebody says, see, I told it Ashtami, then you also feel, yeah, maybe, you know, this Ashtami is strong. So there it shows. But the ultimate objective, as Yukteswar Giri said, and as Swami has also many times shown, you know, if I go into that incident, it'll take time, but I remember our Premajyoti exhibition was inaugurated on Friday the 13th. The supposed to be unluckiest day in the history of mankind. It was a big success and it's a beautiful story in itself. So
and
there are instances.
The festival of joy, the children's festival, which was
in 2005
right,
or 2004, I think.
His 80th birthday.
Yeah, 2005.
The ceremony began bang during Rahu Kalam. And in fact, in the discourse, Swami said, we have started this program in a very inauspicious time.
Oh.
Swami made the declaration in the discourse, but we know how beautifully that event was organized and how, I mean, it really was a festival of joy for all of us who are here. So, I mean, innumerable examples.
As it was the festival of joy for everyone in Ayodhya, and, you know, as Swami writes, it was first nature that observed and celebrated. This is a very common thing we come across in so many... In all great births, you know,
right.
When Krishna was born, nature rejoiced. When Swami was born, musical instruments played on their own. Nadaswaram came and nature rejoiced. Puttaparthi was no longer barren. It had been cursed to be a dry, barren land. So, you know, it shows that nature is so close to God. When I hear all these green campaign and protect the nature campaign, and there are many reasons given, scientific and all that. Personally, I feel the most important reason is because nature is the thing that is closest to God. You see, Prem, I mean, if you're depressed, if you're feeling sad, if you're feeling frustrated, angry, whatever you're feeling, the best thing you would hope for is, if Swami was by my side, if only I can hold his feet and shed my tears and have his consoling touch on my head. But now, well, it's not that now Mahasamadhi has happened, so it is not possible. Because even in the days, say 10 years back or 20 years back, there's no guarantee that you will get that physical proximity with Swami. So in such situations, I have tried out, you know, I just go into a wooded land close by and sit among the trees with the birds around and, you know, chirps and bees flying about. It is such a fantastic experience, so phenomenal. You feel so much in tune with God. You will easily understand why all the sages and saints of yore went to the forest to do their meditation. Because it's so easy to connect with God when you're in nature. You know, so, this is the reason why I feel we should protect nature. Not because of any of the scientific reasons, but because it is the thing that we have got closest, which can connect us to God, which can connect us to our reality. And nature always seems to know. You know, even before anybody else could recognize Rama as the Lord, nature celebrated. Even before anybody could realize that Duryodhana is a wicked person who will bring about bloodshed and the tears of a million ladies, nature revolted. You know, they say when Duryodhana was born, jackals and jackasses howled, donkeys brayed, vultures started screaming. I mean, all ill omens nature provided. So, you know, we should get close to nature and get intimate with nature, because nature is the next best thing to getting a physical representation of God.
In fact, there was that news during, I think, the 2005 tsunami, right, which hit most of Southeast Asia. Lot of the tribal people living in Andaman and Nicobar Islands actually managed to escape from the wrath of that tsunami. Because whenever there is a huge wave coming like that, it seems the animals in the island retreat to the innermost part of the island.
Hmm.
And that is a sign that there is going to be a huge wave. And these people who have the traditional idea of reading nature through the expression of these animals and the nature around, they came to know that there is something disastrous which is going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
So none of them went out to the sea to do their fishing and all that, and they all went right into the island.
Wow. No, I did not know that. It's so fantastic, and they were able to save themselves from the tsunami, which even the best of science could not save people from.
Right, and something Swami always says, I think in the discourse Swami said, see how you look for yourself, you go out and see mountains, see the sky, see clouds, don't you feel happy? You know, in a discourse Swami started like that. And there is another interesting thing, even as you were saying about the nature's response to a good event or a unholy one, so to say. I don't know if you have read, there's a book called Milarepa. It is about a Tibetan monk.
Mm.
He's supposed to be considered, he's considered almost like the reincarnation of Buddha or Holy Spirit.
Mm.
And the moment he decides to leave his body, he decides to merge himself back into the consciousness. It's supposed to be the most auspicious time.
Mm.
So there's a wonderful description in that particular book of that moment. It says that he was one of the greatest teachers of the land. So his students also, they were in a huge range. There were some people who were devotees, who respected him and revered him. There were some who were his disciples, and some who had reached almost his state, and some who were beginning their journey. So there was a huge range of people with different understandings and different levels in the spiritual progress. And it says that those who were very advanced saw the heavens open and divine beings coming and showering flowers.
Mm.
Those who were little less than that, they found a glow on the master's face.
Mm.
And those who were just mundane people, they saw the rain and they saw the breeze, and the breeze bring fragrance.
Wow.
So it is one of the most least subtle signs that nature gives about of an auspicious event.
In hearing that narrative, I'm convinced that I'm in the lowest in the scale of evolution.
all of us, I guess.
Recently, there was this, recently meaning maybe an year ago, there was this Mahakalashabhishekam.
Right.
I remember that incident very vividly because of something that happened, Like, this event was in Kulwant Hall.
Mm-hmm.
They had brought a small golden idol of Swami.
Right.
And they would ceremonially bathe that idol with waters taken from, I don't know how many, hundreds or maybe 1,008 rivers.
Okay.
Rivers all over the country. All over the country they had brought waters of those rivers, and it's a great event. I mean, imagine the amount of effort that goes into procuring water from all the rivers of the country.
Okay.
So, at that time it was just like a stray thought that in this scenario, Puttaparthi at that time was facing a water shortage. The rains had got delayed, there were no rains, and this ceremony was starting, and I saw gallons and gallons of water being poured, and it was just a stray thought by the monkey mind saying that, Swami, you are having so much water when there is a acute water shortage, everywhere, nowhere. We didn't even, celebrate Holi that year. Holi is a year festival that you play with water and colors.
Mm-hmm.
Believe it or not, Prem, it is there recorded and it is there for all to read and see. That same evening, the heavens opened up and it poured and poured and poured and poured and poured, and the water bodies in and around Puttaparthi filled up, and I was literally in tears. I said, Swami, oh my God. I mean, I'm sure that you didn't do this in response to my comment, but it just shows how nature too celebrates any event. We often think that these yajnas, these pujas, these rituals are so also foolish because they are so, in quotes, unscientific. But if we read our epics and scriptures, everyone, every king, every sage, every great person, every scientific genius, even people like Chanakya and every kind of people, everybody encouraged these kind of rituals. So it has so happened that sadly we have lost the meaning. But there is a lot of profound meaning in these rituals, and they definitely bring out the spiritual in us. Because, you can see something that is closest to God, that is nature. If nature is responding, definitely you know that it's going to make God also respond. Well, I think we have moved away from the story with so many of our thoughts, but well, it's all Swami's will, and Bhagwan Hanuman here reminds us, I think, that we should go back to Rama's story as such. You know, as soon as the children were born, it was time for the naming ceremony.
Right.
And at that time, Vashishta, sage Vashishta, who was requested to do the honors and name the children, he said that a 10-day period of impurity should be observed before the naming ceremony can be done. You know, again, on the face of it, it looks like, what is this? You know, why this period of impurity? After all, it's a natural process. The women have gone through, that is, they are birthing. They have given birth to children. But you know, the actual reason why this so-called 10-day period of impurity was maintained, where the mother and child are almost like semi-isolated from everyone. They're just kept is not because they're impure and they will pollute the others. It is because the child is very susceptible in that time.
Right. We are impure and the child has to be protected.
A child and the mother. And you know, even scientifically, if you read, the first 10 days or 15 days of the mother's breast milk is the one that is very, very, very rich in antibodies and other proteins
that give immunity.
Immunity to the baby. So, you know, Swami writes of how Vashishta says that we should have a 10-day period of impurity observed so that nobody should pollute the baby and the queens. After which, on the 11th day, I shall consider it my honor to do the naming ceremony. One more reason, you know, Prem, it happens.
Mm-hmm.
They say that the bonding between the child and the mother.
Okay.
Scientifically, it is explained as an instinct, as a survival instinct, because when we go by evolution from animals, for the safety of the baby, it has to cling on to its mother, otherwise it's dead in the wild. So scientifically it's explained as instinct. And they say that instinct happens when the first few interactions happen between the baby and the mother. That is why they say that when ducklings hatch, mm-hmm. if they happen to see a man, they follow that as the mother. If they happen to see a hen, they follow the hen as the mother. If they see a piece of wood floating on the water, they follow the piece of wood as the mother. It is so important, they call it as imprinting. So this kind of bonding takes place between the baby and the mother, and that is another reason why this 10-day period of impurity is observed, where the child and mother are left to themselves for 10 days after birth, after which only the mothers also participate in any kind of function or social gatherings, and the baby is also exposed to the world at large.
I think one thing which is very common, you know, you look at all these traditions, all the rituals, we're going to come through much, much more as the story progresses, is that the idea is very clear. You know, the idea that we have come here for a certain purpose. The goal is such and such. And we have to lead our life in a certain manner which will lead us to that goal. You know, understanding that the need for health, even if you look at it, it is like, you know, the child is born. It is going to go through a journey. It is learn something. So the body has to be kept healthy. There is so much of spiritual understanding in whatever is done. That is the most beautiful thing. And when Vasishta comes for the naming ceremony, we're talking about the naming ceremony there, Vasishta reveals one truth to Dasharatha. Because mm-hmm. one thing which would strike us is, you know, there is a story of Kamadenu. You know, Vasishta is supposed to have had the cow by name Kamadenu,
which had the ability to fulfill all desires.
And the story of Vishwamitra, which maybe sometime in the story, when Vishwamitra enters the story, we can talk about how he became a sage. But there is that story where he looks at this cow and he desires to have this cow as the king. He was King Kaushika then.
He wants to possess the cow.
Right.
Yes.
So here is a sage, you know, who has attained such prowess that he is much greater than Dasharatha himself.
Mm.
But he is coming and serving as the Purohit, in Swami's own words.
As a priest.
As the priest of the kingdom Ayodhya. And actually when he comes to confer names on these four little children, he reveals to Dasharatha his ulterior motive. And I think we'll listen to that in Swami's own words.
Ulterior in quotes, for those right. who cannot see our expressions.
Right. And this is a discourse which Swami gave in the year 1996. I think we've taken a lot of clips from that series. It was a summer course in which Swami spoke extensively about the Ramakatha.
Rendava dinamu guru ayinatvanti vasishtulu varini teesukoni ee pillavaniki swasti vachakamulu bodhinchetvanti nimittamai anaga vachakamulu palukey nimittamai తీసుకుని వెళ్లాడు.
ద ఫాలోయింగ్ డే వశిష్ఠ హ్యాస్ టేకెన్ ద బాయ్ అలాంగ్ విత్ హిమ్ టు స్టార్ట్ ద ఫార్మల్ లెర్నింగ్.
లేకలేక పుట్టినటువంటి కుమారుణ్ణి స్వస్తివాచకముల చేత ఆశీర్వదించమని ప్రార్థించాడు గురువును.
దశరథ ప్రే టు హిస్ ప్రిసెప్టర్ ఆస్కింగ్ సీకింగ్ హిస్ ఫర్ హిస్ బ్లెస్సింగ్స్ టు హిస్ సన్ రామ.
వశిష్ఠ వారు వెళ్లారు.
వశిష్ఠ వెంట్
బిడ్డను చూచాడు.
హి సా ద బాయ్
కానీ ఏమీ పలుకలేదు.
హి డిడ్ంట్ సే ఎనీథింగ్
స్తంభించిపోయాడు.
హి స్టూడ్ స్టాండ్ స్టిల్
తిరిగి హెచ్చరించాడు దశరథ మహారాజు.
దశరథ అగైన్ రిమైండెడ్ ఆఫ్ హిస్ ప్రేయర్.
అప్పుడు వశిష్ఠ వారు, దశరథ నన్ను నేనే మర్చినటువంటి ఈ స్థితి లోపల స్వస్తివాచకులు ఏ రీతిగా నాకు జ్ఞాపకం వస్తాయి.
ద ప్రిసెప్టర్ సెడ్ ఓ కింగ్ దశరథ ఐ హావ్ ఫర్గాటన్ మై సెల్ఫ్ హౌ కెన్ యూ బ్లెస్ యువర్ బాయ్.
ఏ నిమిత్తమై నీ దగ్గర నేను చేరితను.
ద పర్పస్ ఫర్ విచ్ ఐ హావ్ కమ్ హియర్
ఆ యొక్క పరిపూర్ణమైనటువంటి యొక్క ఫలితము ఈనాడు నేను అనుభవించాను.
ద వెరీ పర్పస్ దట్ బ్రాట్ మీ హియర్ ఈస్ ఫుల్ఫిల్డ్.
వశిష్ఠుల వారు సర్వశక్తిమయుడు.
వశిష్ఠ ఇస్ హైలీ
సర్వజ్ఞుడు.
హీ నోస్ ఆల్.
కానీ అయినప్పటికీ దశరథ మహారాజు ఇంటి లోపల కేవలము పురోహితుడిగా నియమించడంలో ఉండేటువంటి అంతరార్థం ఏమిటి?
వాట్ ఈస్ ఇన్నర్ సిగ్నిఫికెన్స్ బిహైండ్ ద ప్రిసెప్టర్ వశిష్ఠ సర్వింగ్ ఇన్ దశరథ దౌ హీ సో పవర్ఫుల్ అండ్ మైటీ.
దశరథ నీ ధనము నాకు అక్కరలేదు, నీ గౌరవ మర్యాదలు నాకు అక్కరలేదు, నీ పీఠ స్థానము నాకు అక్కరలేదు. నేను వచ్చినది నీ గృహంలో శ్రీమన్నారాయణమూర్తి జన్మించబోతున్నాడు, అతనిని దర్శించే నిమిత్తమై నేను ఈ విధమైన పనిలో నేను ప్రవేశించానన్నాడు.
వశిష్ఠ దశరథ, ఐ డోంట్ వాంట్ యువర్ పవర్ ద వెల్త్ అండ్ ద మనీ, ఐ డోంట్ వాంట్ ఎనీ పొజిషన్ ఐదర్, ఐ హావ్ కమ్ హియర్ టు సీ శ్రీమన్నారాయణ.
ఆ స్వరూపమును నేను ఈనాడు దర్శించాను.
టుడే హ్యాడ్ ద విజన్.
నా చిరకాల వంచ నెరవేరినది.
ఇట్స్ మై లాంగ్ డిజైర్.
నేను ధన్యుడనైనాను.
మై లైఫ్ ఇస్ రిడీమ్డ్.
ఇంకా ఇతనికి నేను స్వస్తివాచకం ఏ రీతిగా చెప్పాలి?
హౌ ఎమ్ ఐ టు బ్లెస్ హిమ్ నౌ?
నేనంత అజ్ఞానిని కాదన్నాడు.
ఐఎమ్ నాట్ దట్ ఇగ్నోరెంట్ యాజ్ యూ థింక్.
పరమాత్మనకు స్వస్తివాచకాలు చెప్పడంలో ఉండినటువంటి యొక్క అజ్ఞానము చెప్పరానటువంటిది.
You cannot estimate the ignorance when one wants to bless the very God.
తెలుసు నేను ఈ అజ్ఞానంలో మునగటము ఇది చాలా పొరపాటు.
In full knowledge, I cannot afford to be innocent.
జన్మించినటువంటి వాడు శ్రీమన్ నారాయణుడు.
The one who is born is శ్రీమన్ నారాయణ God.
నీ పుత్రవాత్సల్యం చేత మాయలో మునిగి ఉంటున్నావు.
Because of your affection towards your son, you are deluded.
అని చెప్పి కంటిదారలు కార్చుకుంటూ వెనుకకు వెళ్ళాడు.
So saying, he was shedding the tears of joy and returned.
ఇది ఇంతతో పోలేదు.
ఇట్ డిడ్ంట్ స్టాప్ దేర్.
మొదలు ఈ జన్మం జరిగిన తర్వాత, జన్మోదయం జరిగిన తర్వాత దాసి వచ్చి దశరథ మహారాజునకు అయ్యా పుత్రప్రాప్తి కలిగింది అని చెప్పింది.
ఇమ్మీడియట్లీ ఆఫ్టర్ బర్త్ ద సర్వెంట్ మెయిడ్ టోల్డ్ దశరథ యు హ్యావ్ ఎ సన్.
ఈ వార్త నిమిత్తమై కాచుకున్నటువంటి దశరథుడు రత్నాలహారమును ఆ దాసికి అందించాడు.
Listening to this very good news, Dasharatha presented the necklace of diamonds to the servant maid.
Appuda sevakuralu anaga aa daasi ee ratnala haramanu angikarinchaledu.
That servant maid did not accept this necklace of diamonds.
Prabhu neena bittani ettukoni aadinchi paadinchi laalincheetunte bhagyam naaku anugrahiste ante chaalu ee ratnala haram naaku akkaraledu ninni.
The servant maid said, O king, it is enough if I fondle the baby, caress the baby and make the baby dance and play. I don't want this money.
లోకములో లౌకికమైన భౌతికమైన ప్రాప్తమైనటువంటి వస్తువులను ఆశించేటువంటి వారు ఎందరో ఉంటున్నారు.
There are many people who aspire for worldly wealth and money.
కానీ ఈ దాసి ఆ పిల్లవాణ్ణి పోషించి ఎత్తుకొని ఆడించేటువంటి పని మాత్రమే నాకు చాలునన్నది.
But the servant maid said, That is enough if she is given the charge of taking care of the baby.
ఒక్కొక్కరి ప్రాప్తి జన్మాంతర సుకృతం చేత ఈ విధమైనటువంటి యొక్క పవిత్ర భావములు ఆవిర్భవిస్తూ ఉంటాయి.
It's only the deservedness that they get out of the past merit of the previous lives that make them have such feelings.
Wow. You know, it is so beautiful. Just like, I just can't help but think of Swami, you know, whenever we describe Rama or Krishna, it is so similar. One was a person who is great beyond all attainments, you know. We spoke about Vasishtha, how he is a spiritual giant. He has no need for any worldly wealth because, you know, he is the one who has Kamadhenu under him. And even he was desirous of meeting Rama, just as was that maidservant, a humble maidservant, who, you know, who was truly, truly a beautiful woman because she recognized the Rama Ratan Dhan, you know, if we can call it so. She said, I don't want Ratan, this Ratan that is the diamond, because I have got the diamond of Rama's name, give me the chance to play with the baby. You know, I just feel that if we can have that kind of aspiration, that is the wealth we should seek. The wealth of being close to our Sai Rama, being close to our Swami, being close to Rama, that is what Vasishtha sought. I mean, being close to Rama was more important and grander than his spiritual wealth and material prowess. And for the Dasi, you know, who would have never in her life been able to afford one diamond stone, she is getting a diamond necklace which she is spurning and saying, no, let me get a chance to be near Rama. I think Swami narrates all this so that we derive inspiration and we also feel that the greatest treasure that we can achieve in our life is we also should be close to Swami, and that is more important than everything else in life. Let us be near and dear to our Swami.
And as you said, very similar to what we experience with Swami, and having come to this series after having spoken about Swami's life itself, you know, very similar thing happens. You know, you have Subhamma who says that, I'm not bothered about my high class, I'm not bothered about what the Brahmins will think of me, and I will be ostracized from my society. He said, here is the Lord, I recognize him, I'm ready to give up everything. And that is what Swami's grandfather said, Kondamaraju. You know, when he says that I want to go and live separately, they ask him, what do you want? Do you want, you want us to build a house for you? He said, no, just send Satyam with me. And Swami saying that, you know, these are all souls which have, which when that moment of choice comes, have made the right choice because of all the goodness which they've done, which all the punya which they've gathered over their past births.
And I think that is like an acid test for us also, Prem. You know, we had spoken about, we had a satsang on, do we seek Swami or seek the wonders of his hand? I feel that is the acid test, because this acid test is not for Swami to judge who we are. It is for us to know ourselves, where we stand. And whenever this choice is made, this choice has to be made between Swami and anything else, let us pray that we have the wisdom, and let us pray that we are selfish enough to choose the best, which is Swami. Whether it is Swami versus career, Swami versus wealth, Swami versus relationships, let us have the wisdom of all these great people of the past and of the present to be able to choose the ultimate, which is Swami. I think that is the inspiration we should derive, and that is the prayer we should have when we do it. He, as we say, Hanuman is listening here, and Hanuman is an epitome of that kind of sacrifice, so-called sacrifice. Because, you know, he is supposed to be the strongest person. We have heard, read about stories of how he not only defeats the Rakshasas, Bhima, his younger brother, who is supposed to have the strength of 10,000 elephants.
Right.
He is defeated by Hanuman, who is a mere monkey. And Hanuman, you know, he also has all the boons of the world. All the gods have given him different boons. And yet, what do we know Hanuman for? We know Hanuman as the devotee of Lord Rama. Because I think, I don't know, but if I am able to go into Hanuman and think like Hanuman, I think that will be the proudest badge, that will be the greatest badge that Hanuman will be ever able to wear. Correct me, Lord Hanuman, if I am wrong, that I am a devotee of Rama and Rama is what I seek. And you know, speaking incidentally, just like that maid servant, Swami also narrates of that story of Hanuman and the pearl necklace. But I think I am jumping the gun too much here. But so many similarities, so many memories, but more than anything else, it inspires me so much personally that come what may, the best is to seek the best always, and that is God and God alone.
Right, you know, even as you're talking of Hanuman, my God, this story of Ramayana is drawing us to jump the gun so much. You know, that's exactly even what Angada does. You know, when he goes as the emissary of Lord Rama, you know, the moment Ravana sees Angada, we've spoken of this before, Vali is one of those people whom Ravana feared, because Vali is also one of those very, very valorous people who has defeated Ravana in a one-on-one battle. So when Angada comes and introduces himself as the son of Vali, Ravana is like taken aback. He's saying, you have no idea how great a father you have, and you're going and serving this Lord Rama. And Angada says, that's exactly what I've come to tell you. I am the son of that great Vali and I am serving Lord Rama. Imagine, my father was killed by this Rama and he is coming after you. Watch out. You know, that is the sense of pride which Hanuman also exhibited, Angada also exhibited, that we have so many achievements. You know, we might be born in a very, very illustrious family. We might have achieved so many things through our efforts. But our greatest honor is that we are representatives of him, or we are related to him, or we are a devotee or a disciple of his.
Perfect. Coming back from the divine digression into the divine story, you know, the story of how after 10 days, it is a grand ceremony. You know, a stadium has been specially erected and seating arrangements have been made in such a manner so that everybody can watch the divine children being named. And three special thrones have been kept aside for the three mothers, and they walk in, and the three walk in, and Swami writes so beautifully. He says that the three appear as if they are the mother of the entire creation. One appears to be like the mother of Brahma, one appears to be like the mother of Vishnu, and the other appears to be like the mother of Maheshwara. Like the Trinity, the mothers of the Trinity, they appear like that as they walk in and sit. And you know, Vasishta, we heard Swami narrate how, what were his aspirations and inspiration to come to Dasharatha in the kingdom of Ayodhya. Vasishta, when he sees, you know, his eyes fall on the four babies. First, he looks at Rama, and he's, you know, Swami writes that Rama gives such a beautiful smile that Vasishta is just unable to resist. It is almost as if Rama is inviting him, calling him closer to embrace the child. He is so strongly attracted that he proclaims and he says, the first baby here should be named Rama, because Rama means he who pleases. And anybody who looks at the baby suddenly starts feeling happy with no reason. You know, starts chuckling, forgets all his worries, all his pain, all his suffering, whatever one has, and becomes so lighthearted and so happy. Rama is he who pleases, and therefore this baby is named as Rama.
And you know, the other place which Swami says, in another place Swami describes this event, Swami says that the little child is actually yearning to go towards Vasishta. You know, putting its hand towards Vasishta and kind of pleading to be picked up. You look at it, here is Vasishta who's overwhelmed with emotions when he's seeing this baby. And the Lord comes as this baby is overwhelmed to reach out to this Lord. And you know, in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says there are four types of devotees: Artha, Artharthi, Jignasu and Jnani. And he says Jnani is the one who is dearest to me, and goes on to say that I will do anything to go and live with my devotee who has become a Jnani. And typically a demonstration of that. Here Rama is saying that I yearn to go to my devotees, and Vasishta is yearning to go to the Lord. What a beautiful sight, and so aptly named Rama, because as Swami says, Ramyate Yeti Rama, the one who attracts, the one who draws you.
One who pleases. Attraction is, I think, Karshayati Iti Krishna.
Right, Krishna.
Yes. So Rama is he who pleases and Krishna is he who attracts. Well, both are one and the same. Sai, I mean, for me everything just becomes Sai, Sai, Sai. How I wish I could see that beautiful little baby Satyanarayan Raju. How sweet. And I mean, as an adult, Swami is so sweet and full of beauty. Just imagine as a babe. Oh my God. Just coming back again from fantasies. So, you know, it is not only that Rama's name is so significant, because the next child he names the child as Bharata. Bharata means he who rules. You know, I feel Vasishta is such a great spiritual master. He is easily able to see the future. He knows what is going to happen in the future. So it is no surprise that he named that baby as Bharata, he who rules. You know, because we shall come to that part of the story next.
And he also says that he is a person who will be always attached to dharma. And so he
exactly.
has to be, because Bharata is also one of the great rulers of that land.
Of the land. And in fact, the previous Bharata is the one who gave the name Bharat to this land. And again, you know, making these two statements, that is, Bharata is one who will adhere to dharma and Bharata is the one who will rule. Subtly the connection is made that he who adheres to dharma is who will rule, because dharma rules always. Dharma is supreme. That is a message that will get reinforced again and again throughout the Ramayana. That is the same message that even Vasishtha seems to be giving to entire humanity, that dharma is the ruler. Then the next he names as Lakshmana. You know, Lakshmana, Laksha. Laksha means all auspicious marks. Lakshmana means he who has auspicious marks. It's almost equivalent to saying that he is like a good luck charm. No wonder that Rama chose to pick him up when he had to go for the exile. But Lakshmana is supposed to be a good luck charm. And the other twin is named Shatrughna. Shatrughna means one who vanquishes enemies. So that is how the naming ceremony gets done, where Vasishtha names the four princes as Rama, Bharata, Lakshmana and Shatrughna.
In the Ramakatha, Raswini Swami also adds that when Vasishtha looks at this little child Lakshmana, he also realizes that this child is born to serve Vishnu and Lakshmi. He says this child is born for the service of, you know, the mother who is going to come as Sita. So that is one of the other reasons why he says Lakshmana.
Oh, okay. Very nice. Now, you know, after this naming ceremony, everybody is happy and, you know, Swami gives a description of how all the maidservants and all the people, nurses, are vying with each other to be in charge of taking care of the babies, and because the babies are so beautiful and spending time with them, one is unable to keep track of time also. You just go there in the morning, it's already evening, it's time to leave. So when all this is happening, a sudden problem crops up. And this problem is faced by only one among the three queens, that is Sumitra. Sumitra notices that Lakshmana is incessantly crying, so is Shatrughna.
Even better than we narrating this, I think we should listen to this in Swami's own voice.
Oh, do we have that?
Yes, we do have that, but the only problem is we will have to explain this after the clip is over, because Swami is in a tremendous flow and I don't think he's allowing the translator to complete his sentence.
Okay.
So it is definitely beautiful for those who understand Telugu. Even otherwise, I think you can make out the beauty of the language which Swami uses to describe this event. And we will give a brief description of what Swami is telling in this clip after the clip is completed.
Ramulaku venta Lakshmanudu.
Rama and then is followed by Lakshmana.
Ramuni yokka pratibimbame Lakshmanudu.
Lakshmana is the very reflection of
Bharata. Bharatuni yokka pratibimbame Shatrughnudu.
Shatrughna is the reflection of Bharata.
Shatrughnudu lekapothe Bharatudu chadamaina kudanu jeevinchaledu.
Without Shatrughna, Bharata will not live for a moment.
Lakshmanudu lekapothe Ramulu inte maatram kudanu neeraina tragaledu.
Without Lakshmana, Rama will not sip even water.
Motta motta Sumitraku ee Shatrughnudu Lakshmanudu janminchina tachadame జోలలో వచ్చి ఊపుతూ ఉంటుండాలి.
ద మూమెంట్ ది చిల్డ్రన్ వర్ బోర్న్ దే వర్ పుట్ ఇన్ ద క్రేడిల్.
కౌశల్య రామును జోలలో వేసి ఊపుతుంటే రామును కిలకిల నవ్వుతూ ఆడుకుంటున్నాడు.
అండ్ రామ వాజ్ సింప్లీ స్మైలింగ్ అండ్ ప్లేయింగ్ వైల్ రెస్టింగ్ ఇన్ ద క్రేడిల్.
కైక భరతుణ్ణి జోలకి చూస్తుంటే అతను కూడా చక్కగా ఆనందిస్తూ కిలకిల నవ్వుతున్నాడు.
While Kaika was there near the cradle, whereas Bharata was lying, Bharata also was playing.
Kani Shatrughnudu Lakshmanudu puttinade modalukoni ahara paneemulu visarjinchi nirantaram kudanu yedustu undatame.
But Lakshmana and Shatrughna started crying right from the birth.
Emi rogam prarambhinchindo emito?
What is the complaint? What's wrong with
him? Ye badhalu kaliginayo emito?
What is the
thing? Enduku ee biddalu iruvuru kudanu ee vidhanga yedustunnaru ani cheppani chaala bayapadipoyi దశరథ మహారాజునికి చెప్పింది.
They were very much afraid of the situation because these two kids started crying from the beginning.
దశరథుని తగిన వైద్యుని పిలిపించి తగిన వైద్యం చేయించాడు.
They also gave appropriate treatment.
కానీ ఏమాత్రము తగ్గలేదు.
But there was no relief.
మంత్రము యంత్రము తంత్రములు కూడాను కట్టించింది.
They administered all these things. మంత్ర యంత్ర
తల్లి యొక్క ప్రేమ సహజమే కదా.
It's natural for a mother to have.
ఏ బాధనో ఏమో తెలియదు.
They don't know the actual complaint.
అనేక రకమైనటువంటి చెప్పిన వారి మందులంతా అందిస్తూ వచ్చింది.
They did all the treatment that is told.
దిన దినములకు ఈ ఏడుపు అధికమవుతూ వచ్చిందే కానీ కొంతైనా తగ్గలేదు.
The crying was more and more day after day.
కడపటికి విధి లేక వశిష్ఠుల వారిని ప్రార్థించింది.
అల్టిమేట్లీ ఫైండింగ్ నో అదర్ ఆల్టర్నేటివ్ దే ఆస్క్డ్ వశిష్ఠ.
అప్పుడు వశిష్ఠుల వారు 5 నిమిషముల ధ్యానంలో నిమ్మై తదుపరి లేచి, అమ్మా సుమిత్రాదేవి, మీరు ఏ ఔషధములు అందించనక్కర్లేదు.
వశిష్ఠ మెడిటేటెడ్ 5 మినిట్స్ అండ్ సెడ్ సుమిత్ర,
లక్ష్మణ తీసుకెళ్లి రాముని జోలలో పండబెట్టు.
మేక్ లక్ష్మణ లై బై ది సైడ్ ఆఫ్ రామ.
తీసుకుని వెళ్లి భరతుని చోట పండబెట్టు.
మేక్ శత్రుఘ్న లై బై ది సైడ్ ఆఫ్ భరత్.
ఇద్దరు ఒక జోలలో, వారిద్దరూ ఒక జోలలో పండబెట్టు.
సీ దట్ బోత్ ఆఫ్ దెమ్ విల్ బీ ఇన్ ది డిఫరెంట్ క్రేడిల్స్.
వీరు ఏ మాత్రం ఇంకా ఏడ్చరు అని.
దెన్ దే విల్ నాట్ క్రై ఎనీ లాంగర్.
అప్పుడు వశిష్ఠుల వారు చెప్పినట్టుగా విని కౌసల్య పర్మిషన్ తీసుకుని, కైక పర్మిషన్ తీసుకుని ఈ ఇరువురు పిల్లలను తీసుకుని వెళ్లి శత్రుఘ్నుని భరతుని ప్రక్కలో, లక్ష్మణుని రామ ప్రక్కలో పండబెట్టి జోలు లూపింది.
అండ్ సుమిత్ర టుక్ పర్మిషన్ ఫ్రమ్ కౌసల్య అండ్ కైక అండ్ మేడ్ లక్ష్మణ లై బై ది సైడ్ ఆఫ్ రామ అండ్ శత్రుఘ్న లై బై ది సైడ్ ఆఫ్ భరత.
ఈ రాముల ప్రక్కలో పండుకున్నాడో లేదో లక్ష్మణుడు ఒక్క క్షణంలో నిద్రపోయాడు.
ద మూమెంట్ లక్ష్మణ
ఇచ్చిన ఆహారమంతా భుజిస్తున్నాడు.
హి స్టార్టెడ్ ఈటింగ్.
కిలకిల నవ్వుతున్నాడు.
స్టార్ట్ స్మైలింగ్.
కళకళలాడుతున్నాడు.
స్టార్ట్ ప్లేయింగ్.
ఈ దృశ్యాన్ని చూచింది సుమిత్ర.
సుమిత్ర వాచ్డ్ ది సీన్.
చాలా ఆశ్చర్యం వేసింది.
షీ వాస్ సర్ప్రైజ్డ్.
మరి వశిష్ఠుల వారిని ప్రార్థించింది, ఈ ఆనందమునకు ఈ ఏడుపు పోవడానికి కారణం ఏమిటి స్వామి?
షీ ప్రేడ్ టు వశిష్ఠ. షీ వాంటెడ్ టు నో ది రీజన్. వై డిడ్ హీ క్రై దెన్? వై ఈజ్ హీ హ్యాపీ స్మైలింగ్ నౌ?
అమ్మా, కొమ్మ చెట్టుకు అంశము.
ద బ్రాంచ్ is the spark of the tree.
Inka manavattam anetvantedi daivattamunaku amsamu.
Human is the spark of the divine.
Kommu chettunu vidichi kommu bratakaledu.
Branch cannot live without the tree.
Tallini vidichi bidda bratakaledu.
Child cannot live without mother.
Kabatti paramatmanu vidichi jeevudu undaledu.
Therefore the individual cannot live without God.
Kanukane ఈ పరమాత్ముడైనటువంటి రామును చేరేటప్పటికే ఈ లక్ష్మణుకి ఇంత ఆనందం వేసింది అని.
దేర్ఫోర్ లక్ష్మణ ఇస్ సో హ్యాపీ బికాజ్ హీస్ ఇన్ ది కంపెనీ ఆఫ్ గాడ్.
తన స్వస్థానమైనటువంటి రామును చేరాడు.
హీస్ ఇన్ ఇట్స్ ప్లేస్ ఆఫ్ హిస్ ఆరిజిన్.
నిత్యానందం పరమ సుఖదం కేవలం జ్ఞానమూర్తి.
దట్ ఈస్ ఎటర్నల్ సుప్రీం బ్లిస్ విజ్డమ్.
ఏ రాముని నుంచి ఆ పాయసంలో అందుకున్నాడో ఆ రాముని దగ్గరనే చేరడానికి ఈ లక్ష్మణుడు ఇంత పరితపించాడు.
అండ్ హీ వాంటెడ్ టు రీచ్ Rama, ultimately having come out of him in the beginning.
ఏ భరతుని పాయసం నుండి ఉద్భవించాడో ఆ శత్రుఘ్నుడు ఆ భరతుని దగ్గర చేరేటప్పటికి ఇతని దుఃఖం చల్లారింది.
శత్రుఘ్న ఆల్సో ఇస్ బోర్న్ అవుట్ ది సేమ్ పుడింగ్ అండ్ దేర్ఫోర్ వెన్ హి ఇస్ ఇన్ ది కంపెనీ ఆఫ్ ఐ వాస్ హ్యాపీ.
స్వస్థానమును చేరేంత వరకు కూడాను ఈ జీవికి తాపము తప్పినది కాదు.
దేర్ఫోర్ ది ఇండివిజువల్ హ్యాస్ టు సఫర్ అంటిల్ హి రీచెస్ హిస్ ఒరిజినల్ ప్లేస్.
స్వస్థానం తప్ప మరి ఏ స్థానంలో చేర్చినప్పటికీ ఈ దుఃఖం మాత్రం నివారణ కాదు.
Other than that original place, wherever he goes, he is bound to suffer.
Jalamalo jeevinchetuvanti chepa,
the fish that lives in water,
vadra vaiduri manakadamaniki gomedika pushparagamto chakkabadinatuvanti bangaru ginnalu teeskelli pettite deeniki enta taapam untundali.
If you keep that fish in a golden vessel studded with all precious gems, it will suffer.
Ee precious viluva daniki emi artham kaadu.
It doesn't understand its
ఈ బంగారు విలువ తనకేం అక్కర్లేదు.
It doesn't want gold.
తన స్వస్థానం జలం కావాలి.
But it wants its original place.
జలములో చేరేంత వరకును ఈ చేప ఎంత పరితపిస్తుందో అదే విధముగానే జన్మస్థానమైనటువంటి పరమాత్మను చేరేంత వరకును జీవాత్ముడు ఇంత పరితపిస్తుంటాడు.
The fish suffers until it goes back to its water, the original place. So also the individual suffers until it reaches
divine. ఎంతమంది శ్రీమంతులు లేరు?
In this world there are many rich people.
Enta mandi balavantulu leru.
There are so many strong people.
Enta mandi saukhya santoshamunta uttrutuge varu leru.
The people of comforts and conveniences.
Kaani anni sukhamulu untunnayi.
They have all comforts.
Kaani manasika aanandamu ledu.
But they don't have mental happiness.
Kaaranam emiti?
What's the reason?
Ivanni kaadu nee manasika aanandaniki kaaranamu.
They don't give happiness mentally.
Nee swasthanam entante aatma sthananni cherali.
You should reach that center of atma.
Appude nee shanti santoshamu.
Then you will have peace and happiness.
కౌసల్యనందన వైదేహి మోహన
Saram, dear listeners, I think Prem and me had left you in the middle, those who do not understand Telugu, about that beautiful description that Swami gives. Well, I will try to sum it up here. Swami narrates so beautifully as to Lakshmana and Shatrughna incessantly crying, you know. And we felt that it would be best to hear Swami's description, because the way Swami has lived that. So it's an autobiographical account, and so it's easy for him to describe. He says how Kausalya is singing out a lullaby and putting Rama to sleep. At the same time, Kaika is singing a lullaby and putting her son Bharata to sleep. While the mother Sumitra Devi, as she is trying to put her two twins, the two children, to sleep, they are just not sleeping, they are restless, they are crying, and she is worried. She goes and lodges a complaint with the father, Dasharatha, who gets in the best medical assistance possible. And the doctors examine, they find nothing wrong, it's everything is fine, health-wise they are fine, they are being well-fed, they are on comfortable beds, and yet they are dissatisfied and crying. So nobody seems to have an idea as to why the twins are crying. And Swami says, after all, a mother's heart is the softest. And Sumitra is unable to bear with this pain, so she goes to Vasishta, the preceptor, divine preceptor, and asks him the cause for the problem. And Swami says that Vasishta meditates for 5 minutes. He even specifies the time. For 5 minutes he closes his eyes, he meditates, comes out of meditation, knows the answer, and he says, see Sumitra, just do this. Pick up Lakshmana and go and place him in Rama's cradle. Pick up Shatrughna and go place him in Bharata's cradle. They will stop crying. And he explains, saying that, you know, if you realize, Lakshmana has been born from that part of the pudding which Kaikeyi gave it, which Kausalya gave you. And Shatrughna is born from that part of the pudding which was given to you by Kaikeyi. And therefore, Lakshmana is actually a part of Rama, Shatrughna is a part of Bharata. And as long as you keep them separate, they will cry and they will be restless. You put them together, once they get union with their respective lords, they will be happy.
And what beautiful conclusion Swami drew at the end of that narration. It was so profound, Swami, saying that unless you go back to your source, you know, saying that this part of the pudding came from that vessel, so that is the source. Unless somebody is heading back to the source, they will not find fulfillment and joy. And Swami drawing that, and then Swami saying that, you know, that beautiful example of Swami saying you take a fish, put it in a golden in a container which is studded with
18 types of gemstones, which Swami described one after another
in a few seconds. You can put it in a vessel as ornate and as expensive as that, but if you are not going to give it water, the fish is definitely going to suffer. Swami says that that is the same plight with man. You know, you can have all the riches and comforts in the world, but if you are not having the joy of being in the company of the Lord,
the source,
you are not going to find your fulfillment and
happiness. Is union with God. So beautiful. You know, Prem, I feel this is a mantra, you know, the happiness is union with God. Because we will never complain about life as long as we are happy. And all the times we are unhappy in life, we are sad, we are frustrated or angry, are those times when we have lost our connection with our source, our connection with God. If we can meditate on the meaning and the subtleties and the grand profundity that this mantra holds, happiness is union with God, I think that's it. Life is done. Life is made. And beautifully Swami brings it out with this episode, saying that for Lakshmana and Shatrughna too, you know, happiness was union with the Lord, back to their source, and therefore when they're back with their source, they're no longer crying.
And there's also a beautiful thing in the sense, see, Valmiki Ramayana doesn't speak of this payasam being distributed in this manner. You know, Valmiki Ramayana in fact says that Dasharatha first goes to Kausalya, gives her one half of the payasam from the vessel, goes to Sumitra next, because she's the second queen.
Okay.
Gives her one half of the remaining, which is one quarter.
Okay.
Okay. And then Valmiki says that 3/4 of the payasam has been already distributed. And then he goes to Kaikeyi and gives one half of what is remaining, which means only 1/8.
Okay. That is what, finally to Kaikeyi, is it?
Yeah, finally to Kaikeyi. So still 1/8 portion is left. And then it seems Dasharatha thinks that I think the most unfortunate among the three queens will be Sumitra. Because, you know, there are some disadvantages of being the middle one. In fact, that is what even Bhima says in one particular part in the...
In Sanskrit it is called Madhyama Vyayoga.
Yeah, right.
The tragedy of being the middle one.
Because it said the eldest one is always endeared by the father. The youngest
is endearing to the mother, to the youngest mother. One.
The middle one is left in the... left to fend for himself. And so Dasharatha feels that, you know, poor thing Sumitra is the one whom I don't get to give most of my attention. So he goes back and gives that last 1/8 to Sumitra. And
wow, that is complicated mathematics. So Kausalya has half.
Half.
And Sumitra has 1/4 plus 1/8.
Right.
That is about 3/8. And 1/8 is with Kaikeyi, okay?
So that is what Valmiki Ramayana says. But here is Swami giving this beautiful explanation of how she loses her portion, the eagle comes and picks it away, and then the other two queens pour in, and that is the explanation of why Rama is always with Lakshmana, or rather the other way around, why Lakshmana is always with Rama and Shatrughna is always in the company of Bharata.
You know, I didn't know that Valmiki Ramayana states that way, because for me Ramayana has always been Ramkatharasavahini.
Ramayana is always what
I thought. I thought this is what is there in Valmiki Ramayana also. But well, what better than getting it most authentic? I'm sure that if this copy is shown to revered sage Valmiki, he too will definitely accept it and make
bring the next
corrections
edition.
In the next next edition of the Valmiki Ramayana. So, yeah, now, you know, after this, Lakshmana becomes happy, Shatrughna is happy, and the princes are happy. But again, another thing that Swami beautifully brings out is the plight of Sumitra. Now, she suddenly realizes that while Kausalya is happy with her son in her quarters, Kaikeyi is happy with her son in her quarters, Sumitra can't have her children in her quarters, because her children have to be with the sons of Kausalya and Kaikeyi always. So she never gets that undivided attention of her children, and she is actually missing them so much. Swami writes that she volunteers to become the head nurse, if we can call so, that she spent some time in Sumitra's chamber, in Kausalya's chambers, some time in Kaikeyi's chambers, taking care of not only her children, but of Rama and Bharata as well. And she becomes like the chief nurse and the chief maid, if you can call so. And that is a great sacrifice she does. And Swami says, that is why her name reflects her attitude. She is a Sumitra. Sumitra means a good friend. She becomes such a good friend, a noble friend, absolutely selfless. And though, you know, she feels sad, wondering what is it that my children are going to get, because, you know, one is subservient to Rama and one is subservient to Bharata, she doesn't take it in a negative way. She takes it in a positive way, saying that I will derive inspiration from this, and therefore I too will become subservient to Kausalya and Kaikeyi. I will serve them. I will be happy in their presence, just as my children are happy in the presence of their children.
You know, it's a very beautiful character sketch of Sumitra, because Swami says that initially she said, you know, having become the mother of two, I'm left as mother of none. You know, because both sons have now gone to the other mothers. But then, you know, it also shows that, because Swami often says Sumitra, she's a good friend. It also shows a characteristic of a good friend. You know, none of us are going to be in a state where we're not going to have any problem. But I think we always will see that the best friend whom we have is not the person who complains about his life. The best friend will be one who overlooks his own pains and doesn't complain about his pains, but is ready to come and listen about your worries and to give you a shoulder to cry on. You know, that's a sign of a good friend. And that's exactly what Swami is describing as the character of Sumitra. You know, she is having pain and she is a little despondent, but she overcomes that and she says she sees the beauty of the situation, and she is becoming a servant, as you said, the head nurse of this.
She positively resigns. She positively resigns to her fate, and she is happy doing this. And, you know, that is Sumitra's experience. Swami also narrates about a beautiful incident that happens to Kausalya, the eldest queen. So Kausalya has bathed Rama and Lakshmana also now, because both are together, and she has dried their beautiful curls of hair with scented smoke, as we discussed previous satsang. And she has put them to bed after applying that collyrium dot to ward away the evil eye, and, you know, scented perfume, and on a very, very soft bed. Beautifully Swami describes, because he has experienced that. By the way, it reminds me of one little description that I missed that Swami has given, and I thought I'll just narrate it here.
Okay.
During the naming ceremony, Swami says that the rice was placed. Over rice, a silk cloth is spread, and then the babies are placed before Vashishta comes and names. That was the tradition. So here now, once she has done this, she then decides to, you know, offer food, that is naivedyam, to the Lord. I wonder who was the Lord in their shrine. You know, there was no Rama, there was no Krishna. Maybe Shiva or Brahma, don't know.
Maybe Vishnu or...
Or
it might even be the sun god.
Yeah, the
being the solar dynasty.
Correct. The primary forms of the Lord. Interesting, we'll have to see in their shrines, because as times pass, the number of gods in our shrines increase, they grow, wonder whom they worship. But anyway, she decides to offer food to the Lord. And so she has made the food. She goes to the altar and she is offering it, and she is lost in her prayer. When she opens her eyes, to her amazement, she sees the little baby Rama sitting in the altar. Sitting in the altar and consuming the food that has been offered to the Lord. She is taken aback and she decides that, you know, I mean, Rama is not in any kind of danger or anything. He's safe in the altar. She decides that it is time to give a scolding to the maids and other nurses who have not taken proper care, who have neglected Rama and allowed him to come here. So she rushes back to the room and she sees that Rama is lying in the cradle there. She wonders who is the maid who has been so fast, or how is it Rama traveled back so fast back to the cradle. She goes back to her puja and she sees that in the altar again Rama is there, and now the plate is empty. Literally shocked, she rushes back and she sees again Rama back in the cradle. This time she goes to a nurse who is there and asks, why are you not taking proper care of the baby Rama? And the nurse says, no, Rama has been here only. I'm looking over the baby, they're here only, nothing. Kausalya is just not able to believe it. She goes close and she sees that, you know, Rama's lips are moving. He seems to be chewing and relishing some dish. So she suspects, and she puts with her thumb and forefinger, she just gently opens Rama's mouth, the baby Rama's mouth. And then she has the experience of her lifetime. The experience that was conferred onto Yashoda, the experience that had been conferred onto Karnam Subhama. The same experience is conferred, I mean, I think maybe Kausalya is the original, the first. She sees the entire cosmos. And she sees the Vishwa Virata Rupa of Rama, that he is Lord Narayana, and she is just thrilled and shocked in awe. And just like Yashoda is unable to tell this to anybody else, Ishwaramma is unable to tell this to anybody else, Kausalya is also unable to tell it to anybody else, because even when she makes an attempt, Swami says that she goes and tells Dasharatha that, you know, her husband, this is what happened. I saw the whole cosmos there. Dasharatha, you know, plays on words and says, I know Rama is like the entire universe for you, so you are seeing him as the entire universe, and he laughs it off. But Kausalya is dead serious. She goes and tells it to Vasishtha, says to the royal preceptor that this is what I saw and my eyes didn't fool me, I'm sure this was the darshan I had. And Vasishtha only smiles and he says, Mother, you are blessed. You are blessed, for Lord Narayana has taken birth in your womb as your son. It's a great honor, it's a great blessing. Enjoy the miracle, enjoy the leelas of the Lord. And you know, Prem, as I read this, I just couldn't help think of the beautiful relationship that existed between Ishwaramma and the baby Satyanarayan and Raju. Similar incident, similar event, similar revelations.
And even the story of she seeing Rama in the cradle and in the altar is very similar to the Virupaksha episode in Swami's life.
At Hampi, Virupaksha, right? Temple. Yes.
Right.
You know, we have narrated this during our Satyam Shivam Sundaram series, where of course it was not the mother there, but the brother sees that Swami is in the shrine as well as outside.
Right.
So, similar. So that is another incident that Swami has narrated about. And one more event, you know, one more episode, which is not exactly in the Ramakatha Rasavahini, mm-hmm. but Swami has narrated, I think, during the Ram Navami discourse in 2003.
Okay.
Sai Blossom has brought it out as a beautiful production, the Ram Navami discourse, with English and Hindi translation. So in that, Swami narrates that as children, as toddlers, you know, they start crawling on their fours, they start growing up, nobody realizes it soon, they're almost 3-year-olds and they're playing. And Swami says, on one occasion, Bharata comes crying to his mother, Kaikeyi. What happened? She asks. He says, I was playing with Rama, and Rama is very unfair. You know, Swami narrates it like that. He says, Rama is very unfair, and Bharata is crying. So Kaikeyi fondles him, takes him on her lap, and she, you know, Swami says, Kaikeyi's love for Rama is so supreme, so huge, she almost loves him more than her own son, Bharata. So she tells, no, Rama will not cheat like this. why do you say Rama would have cheated? I don't think he has cheated. Anyway, tell me what happened. And then Bharata says, Rama is actually better than me in every game. But he never wins. He is always making me win. It is so unfair. He is cheating. He is the better one and therefore he should win. But he never allows that to happen and he always allows me to win. This is so unfair. And Swami says that the mother is just lost in the bliss of the sense of dharma, the sense of justice and the beautiful relationship that exists between the four princes. And this is another incident that Swami has narrated. So
right,
beautiful.
In fact, Swami says that it seems Lord Rama goes to Kaikeyi and praises Bharata. Huh. And says that how he keeps winning in all the games.
Oh, he's so good.
And he's so happy. And that's the contrast with Swami says, here is Bharata who's winning and crying. And here is the Lord who's losing and happy. And then Swami says that Lord is always happy to lose himself to the devotee. And in fact, this is the one loss which is going to make the Lord very happy.
And he sees his victory in his defeat in such occasions because his devotee's victory is his victory. A beautiful message. You know, the time in our studios is almost 1:54 and we are nearing the end of the satsang. As they pass through this toddler phase and they grow up, you know, the king and the queens, they decide that it is time for education now. And Swami narrates of the beautiful educational system that existed in those days. We will maybe dilate and delve further into that during our next Ramayana fortnight, which will be the fortnight after the coming fortnight. They are sent to the Gurukula, Rishikula, under sage Vasishta.
Right, Vasishta is, I think, he is the senior most preceptor and there are other teachers who are taking care of the children there.
And we shall go into that, dear listeners. Hope you are enjoying this Ramakatha Rasavahini as much as we are enjoying reading it and correlating it with our Swami and enjoying the beautiful bliss. We shall now conclude this afternoon satsang with one more song. At the end of the song on the other side, you will have Brother Chandu Vijay with his segment Love to Love. Do send in your feedback. We are eager to listen to them. And as always, we offer our humble pranams at the lotus feet of our dear Swami for giving us this beautiful chance to enjoy the Ramakatha Rasa. And our pranams also to Lord Hanuman, who is always with us, listening to this beautiful story of his Lord. Thank you. Jai Sai Ram.
Pivare Ram Rasam Pivare Pibare Ramarasam Pibare Ramarasam Janana Marana Bhaya Shoka Viduram Janana Marana Bhaya Shoka Viduram Sakala Shastra Nigama Sakala Shastra Nigamagama Saram Pibare Ramarasam Rasare Pibare Ramarasam Pibare Ramarasam Shuddha Paramahamsa Ashram Gitam శౌనక కౌశిక ముఖాతీతం శుఖ శౌనక కౌశిక ముఖాతీతం పిబరే రామ రసం రసనే పిబరే రామ రసం
శ్రీరామ్ జయ రామ్ జయ జయ రామ్